guys, welcome back to Uncommon Faith. I'm Amber.
And I'm Ashley.
And on today's episode, we have Elaine Kohanowitz, author and podcaster, author of, can you say it again for me?
Mom of Six Dies Laughing.
It sounds better when you say it too, so hey, I'm just going to have you jump in every time I need your help. So how did you come up with the name of the book?
You know, I agonized over the name for the book. I had like six names. I surveyed every possible human being that I could find to see which one they wanted. And it all fell out kind of almost evenly. And honestly, Mom of Six Dies Laughing wasn't even really the top one. But I finally had to settle on, it's got to be catchy and it's got to be short and it's got to, you know, hopefully make people pick it up. And so after much prayer and fasting, I'm totally kidding.
I love it. Well, right decision.
What was the other option?
You know what? That is a really good question. I'd have to go back and look, but some of them were too long and some of them were not funny. You know, or not like kind of snarky enough or witty enough.
The one you picked definitely stands out.
I did almost die laughing though. True story.
Oh gosh.
We were in Colorado.
Wow,
surprising. And we were all eating breakfast on a vacation and I started laughing at one of the jokes that the kids told and I choked.
Oh, no.
And for real, I could not breathe. And I was like clutching my throat and I was waving my hands like.
And were they sitting there laughing at you still?
At first, yeah. And I'm like, this is for real. And of course, I couldn't say it, but my mind's like screaming it. And I have older children too. So a couple of them got behind me and tried to do the Heimlich and it wasn't working.
No.
And of course, I was in like. I wasn't even thinking
panic
at that
mode.
Point. Yeah, I was totally panicked. And I didn't know this at the time, but one of my teenage daughters was like screaming for my husband who was not in the room.
Oh my gosh.
And he ran in and threw his glasses and book and phone just on the floor and gave me the Heimlich and saved my life, literally saved my life.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, yep.
Did you actually have food?
I literally couldn't breathe. Like I literally would have died if he hadn't come to my rescue. Like, cause even my oldest son wasn't in there. We were vacationing with my, brother-in-law and his family, the adults, none of the adults were in there because they were all outside, like getting the truck like ready. Cause we were going to go camping. So like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
do you remember what it was you choked on?
Yes. It was breakfast casserole.
Oh no. Oh my god!
Do you remember what the
Never
joke
eat breakfast
was?
Casserole again. Too much PTSD.
Yeah. Do you remember what the joke was?
I honestly don't. It must have been a good joke though.
I would definitely go get it tattooed on me if I remembered.
Yeah, for real.
It would be like two smaller bites.
No,
good memory.
That's crazy. That almost happened to me like two different times, but it wasn't actual food. It was like I guess there's this thing that I learned after the fact that inside the back of your throat, there's like a flap that will close if it thinks like water is coming in to keep you from drowning.
Yeah.
And so one time leaving Colorado, after my husband came back from deployment, I was with his family. We had all driven out there for his homecoming. And his mom shifted gears when I took a drink.
Oh.
And it closed it like I started to choke. And my father-in-law at the time, he was like, can't see me, but he just hears me. And I don't like people like asking me if I'm okay, because like tears will come out if I start to choke, but then that makes me like choke more. And I'm like, I'm fine. And he's like, do you need your inhaler? And then that made me laugh.
Oh, shoot.
And so then it closed up. And like, I literally had to like trying to like open it up. And then after a while I was okay. But my brother-in-law sitting next to me, he's like, I'm glad you're okay. I didn't want to have to drive back next to a dead
Oh, the
freaking
love.
Men. It's a man thing.
It happened again with my husband when we were sitting here having dinner. It happened again, and now I knew what it was. And he's like ready to give me the Heimlich. I'm like, I'm not choking on food. Like, don't touch me. Like, I just have to. It's scary. It really is.
That is scary. It is. I was.
So besides choking on food and writing a book, can you go ahead and tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah. So, yeah, I have 6 kids. So my oldest is 22 and my youngest is 10. So, and we've got everything in between. They're kind of like born in pairs, like not twins, but I have 2 older boys and my 2 girls are in the middle, and then we have 2 younger boys. So
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have never guessed you had a 22-year-old either. Like, that's insane.
That's awesome. We're going to start the young looking moms club.
Yes. Looking I love moms. It. Yeah. Except for, see, with me, it's not so fun anymore with a 17-year-old. My child looks like a grown man, so I look like a cougar anywhere we go.
Oh, right. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's not fun anymore.
Yeah. But you're now like, instead of Stacy's mom, you're Aiden's mom, and all the boys have crushes on
him. He won't invite his friends over. It's so funny. I'm like, come on, dude, like. Just have friends over. Be a normal kid. He's like, nah, mom, I'm good. That's hilarious. One kid did show up one day, and he walked in my room just to say hi, and my son goes, get out of my mom's room.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Freaked out. I'm like, oh, my gosh, kid, calm down. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off there, but
that
wow.
So funny. That's awesome, though. Yeah, so I homeschooled for 15 years. And so I was at home with the kids all
the
time.
And you still look like that. Oh, my goodness. What's your secret?
I think my secret is locking myself in the bathroom or the van whenever I needed a break.
With your junk food?
With my junk food and my rap music.
And your rap music.
I love it.
No, to be honest, I actually, that is one of the things that I mostly loved about homeschooling was getting to be with the kids. Obviously, not all the time. There were certainly times, I called it the public school daydream. Whenever, you know, I'd be like, okay, if I just go up to the school right now and I get them enrolled, then they could be going to public school by tomorrow morning. Yes. So it wasn't always, you know, peaches and cream, but for sure, like generally, I really enjoyed being with them. I just, it was kind of cool too, I guess, just because you have 6. So like there was always a lot of activity going on. They had each other to hang out with and play with. So that was really good. And then we were really involved with a lot of different things. I actually helped start a homeschool co-op, and we would go to that every Friday. So we got to do all kinds of crazy and fun classes, you know, like drama and science and PE. And
for those that don't know, what is a homeschool co-op?
So it's just where a bunch of homeschool families get together and they organize the classes so that you don't have to teach everything. You can take the kids to the co-op and they can help teach. There's a lot of different kinds of co-ops, but we kind of focused on whatever you can't do at home, then let's kind of do that at the co-op, or whatever you don't want to do at home. Like if you don't want to get Play-Doh out and you don't want to have science lab at your house, let's do that at co-op.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So that's a nice little break for you.
Yeah, it was. And it was a great opportunity for the kids to meet people. I mean, they were also involved in sports and theater and different things like that. So, but at some point, now I have like adult children. I had some kids that wanted to go to public school for high school. So we did that. And then eventually it kind of phased everybody out to where now we have 2 younger kids in the private school. And then we have a daughter that's in high school and everybody else is like grown. So that was a big, big switch for me. And so I went from doing that full time to helping with our business. We have our own business that my husband started forever ago. and started doing that part time, and then started podcasting and just getting involved in helping moms and things like that.
So you like to stay busy.
I have to stay busy.
Was that a plan, or was that an uh-oh, six kids?
It was absolutely not planned. Like, I remember bringing the first one home and being terrified. I mean, you think
about
it. How
old were you?
I was 22. I mean, I wasn't very old, really, you know.
Is it weird to think that your son is the age that you were when you had him?
It is kind of crazy, actually, yeah. It is crazy.
Yeah.
But I remember being like, yeah, do you feel like that too? Yeah. Oh, so you were 17 when you had him too.
Well, I got pregnant at 17.
Okay, yeah.
18, but yeah.
Yeah.
It is weird to think about. So I now know. I'm extra protective. I'm like, don't do it, kid. Don't do it. You'll ruin it.
You know how this story goes, right? It's a beautiful one, but tough.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, I can't tell him you'll ruin your life, because then what is he going to think?
Exactly.
What are you trying to say, Mom?
Exactly.
Goodness.
But yeah, I mean, I remember, like, you know, the doctor gets what, like 8 years of education, and they want to send me home after 2 days with this newborn. Yeah. You know, like, I don't know what to do with the newborn. I don't even know how to feed the kid. So,
yeah.
And it was baptism by fire too, because my first son, Daniel, was so hard. He ate every hour and a half. I was, you know, up night and day. I remember walking down the hall one time and just being like, God, what in the heck did you do to me?
What is this thing?
Because you don't feel like you're like yourself, like that you belong to you anymore. You're strictly there to feed this child.
Yeah.
You have to feed that much.
And you, like, don't know what you're doing. And you don't know how this is going to look. No sleep. So that's like even compounded, right? Because anytime you don't have sleep, everything just seems worse. And so the second one came along. By the time the second one came along, my first one was 18 months old. So, you know, by that time you got the first one down pretty good, right? Like, kind of got that down, and then the second one came along, and my mom came up to help me the first week, and I remember, like, practically hanging onto her leg before she left, because I was like, you cannot leave me with a newborn, an 18-month-old. Like, what in the heck am I going to do with these two young children? And of course, the 18-month-old is like crazy, you know, he's just like crazy boy. And thankfully the second one actually slept. I remember standing at the side of the crib with my husband, like, you know how your jaw just drops to the floor because you're just like, and you put him down and goes to sleep. Does this happen? Is this normal? Do babies do this?
What's wrong with him?
Is he okay?
So yeah, for sure, we did not plan six. It was more like, well, we figured this one out. You want to have another one? Sure. Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's do it.
Goodness.
And then it just kept going.
And it just kept going. I will say, though, that the last two are the farthest apart. They're 4 years, because it took that long for me to recover from the first five, right? Because when I had my fifth child, they were all seven and under. So it was.
Goodness, girl.
Yeah.
God bless you for sure.
It's a lot of junk food locked in the car.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Did you get, like, a lot of, like, you know, jokes at your expense or dirty looks or judgment for having so many kids?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, one of the hardest places was actually with some of my family members. You know, by the sixth, I don't even know if I told them I was having a baby. You know, because they were just like, oh, really? You're going to have another one? Really? Like, mm-hmm. you know, it was just kind of disappointing. Because, you know, once the kid was there, they were all like, oh, the baby, you know, la, 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 la. Mm-hmm. And it was great. But no, they were just like not excited about that at all. And also worried about my mental health and like just.
Well, I don't blame them on that one.
Yeah. But, you know, they didn't live close. So I suppose that was, you know, good and bad. You know, it right. was hard not having family. I know you guys can probably relate because you've probably lived in a lot of places where you kind of had to depend on your friends more. So that's kind of difficult, but at the same time, I feel like it would have been weird to have asked them for help since they weren't really excited about,
right?
You know, those
choices. So it kind of saved you in the long run.
Yeah, but you know, the funny thing, I would say the funniest, craziest like interactions I had on having six kids were at Aldi. Like, I don't know if you guys shop at Aldi, but like, so here I am and I've got like two baskets and the baskets at Aldi are already ginormous. And so, you know, like one basket has the baby in the baby car seat in the basket and then another kid mm-hmm. in the front, you know, sitting in the front and then another kid pushing and then the second cart with the kid pushing and then another like small child's probably sleeping in the basket and we're like stacking things around her, you know, and then we've inevitably got at least one more just climbing the stacks, you know, because there's just like stacks of toilet paper and all that kind of stuff. And it was always one way or the other. It was either people were like, oh, you know, you're amazing. Like, how do you do it? I had six kids or, you know, something like that, just really sweet. And they were just, I called them like angels, you know, like God's like hidden angels. But then there was the other side where they would be like, you need to get your kids under control or, you know, just like, did you see him? He's climbing through the toilet paper, you know, or things like that. And what also was crazy is that if you have like one or two kids, people do not ask you like how many kids you're going to have. But if you have three or more, they feel that it's their right to, you know, find out about your fertility plans. And they would be like, so are you going to have another one? Yeah. Are you done? You know? And, or my favorite, do you know what causes that? One time I said, yeah, I know. And it's awesome. You should try it.
So $1 million question. Are you done?
And unless God surprises us, we are definitely done.
I'm definitely guilty of that. My sister-in-law, they just found out that they are pregnant. Well, not just found out, but they're pregnant with their eighth.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But they have, it's like two different sets now because the oldest is 16. So they go 16, 15, 14, 11, and 8.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first set. And then we started completely over and they are all a year apart.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so I was like, at first I was like, how are they going to do this?
Yeah.
They're going to run out of rooms. But then we went to visit during the pandemic. And now that the older kids are older, they're helping.
Yeah.
And they're putting the baby down for a nap. They're getting them fed. They're, you know, all eyes on kids and stuff. So it's like, oh, okay, gotcha.
For sure.
But yeah. We all felt it for her though, because she got pregnant with my nephew right after the last one went to kindergarten. We're like, oh, you've got all the kids in school now. They're all gone.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I'm pregnant. And we're like, oh no. And yeah. And so we definitely do make jokes.
Yeah.
Because like, it's literally right after the kid turns one.
Right, yeah.
Oh, we're pregnant again, guys.
Oh, wow.
And I'm
wow.
like, I need to keep your husband away from you.
I will vouch for the whole having older kids thing is kind of amazing. because you just have so much more help. And it got to the, at one point, you know, it finally got to the point where like, hey, I can like leave, you know, like I can go to the store by myself. Like, this is so cool, you know, cause I've got older kids watching the younger kids and it's honestly, it's kind of harder now in some ways. Cause I have a 10-year-old and like I said, he's 4 years younger than the next one up. And even though they're kind of buddies, it's always this way that once one of the kids gets into to being a teenager, so the next one up is 14, you know, they kind of don't really want to play anymore, you know? And so like keeping my 10-year-old occupied, it's like full-time job, right? Because it's like having an only child almost. And it's definitely a lot more than, you know, if he had a bunch of siblings there to just hang out with and play with and stuff.
Yeah. We've definitely, you know, talked between us about, you know, keeping and maintaining, you know, your one-on-one relationships with your kids. How have you been able to keep your individual relationships with all six kids?
It varied over time. I remember when they were really little, we didn't really do anything like that, you know, like individual, because it was difficult for me to do that, you know, just because they were so little for a little while. But I remember that my second child, Buckley, and I don't remember how old he was, but I want to say he was around 4-ish. He, it's like I just could tell he needed me, you know, like he wasn't getting enough of me. And yeah, so I just decided at that point, you know, I kind of talked to my husband, like we really need to do something where I just get a little bit of one-on-one time with him. And of course, I couldn't do it with him without doing it with everybody. So we instituted this like special time. And so once a week, every week, like in an evening, my husband would watch the rest of the kids and I would take one of the kids out and do something with them. And I told them they could pick what they wanted, but it had to be free or cheap.
So not a yes thing.
That's our favorite. That's our favorite thing.
Yeah. And I remember still that first time taking Buckley out. I literally can imagine him in my mind. He had this cute little curly hair and this fat little cheeks, you know, and he was just so excited to get to go out with me all by himself. And I said, what do you want to do? And he picked out his little army guys and we went up to the lake. We live pretty near a lake and we just sat on the rocks and played with army guys for like, I don't know, an hour and walked around and stuff. And I know, like, even to this day, sometimes when I think about it, it's hard for me not to tear up because it was just so special, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what we did when they were little. Eventually that phased out, I think just because they got a little bit older and it was a little easier to kind of do one-on-one things with them anyway, you know, because I was taking them to a practice maybe or, you know, what have you. And but what has been really fascinating is having adult children, because, you know, when you have kids and they're young, you think, oh, 18 years, I've only got 18 years, right? And, oh yeah, so Amber's totally laughing because she's she knows this is not going to end at 17, right? But it's like you just never quit being a parent. I mean, it changes, but you never quit being a parent. And I've been amazed at how they have wanted to like still spend special time. Literally, just yesterday, my oldest, who's 22, took me to lunch for Mother's Day. Yeah. So we did that. My second youngest, he and I like to go get coffee together. The girls that are in the middle, they're like 19 and 17. Sometimes we'll go shopping or to coffee, or I'll just sit down and talk with them, you know, one-on-one in their room or whatever. And then, you know, the youngest one, it kind of ends up being like, well, with my 14-year-old, he loves music. And he's actually, of course, really into TikTok. So he'll like share TikTok videos with me, or we'll be in the car on the way to dance and he'll put music on, you know, or it's kind of more that kind of thing. He actually makes his own TikTok videos. So the other day I helped him make a video. I did the filming for him. So that's kind of how we connect. Yeah. And then the youngest, he definitely still needs mom time. So we went out in the driveway last night and played big ball tennis. We get this big, giant, fat ball out because we are way too unskilled to actually play tennis. Yeah. And we play tennis in the front driveway. So stuff like that. But yeah, for sure.
So how old is your youngest?
Yeah, he is 10. He'll be 11 in June, though. So okay. It's sad. He's almost in sixth grade. I know, right?
That's how it felt for when mine went into sixth grade. Because here in Colorado, they stop elementary at fifth grade. And then it's middle school. I'm like, she's not ready for that. That's insane. And then, it's been real difficult just with how, you know, with culture and public school and all those
absolutely
different things.
Welcome to teenage and tweenagehood.
We were just talking about that, how we might rather have a
new I one know
yep
that's what I said. If you'd have given them to me at adolescence, I might have had second thoughts.
Yeah. It's hard. So how have you not burnt out with six kids and then all their different activities and all the individual time with all six kids? How, I mean, you probably have had some burnout or absolutely no burnout. I don't know if you do. If you haven't, then
I would be an absolute liar if I said I never had burnout. That's for sure. Especially like I was talking about when around the time, like when I had my fifth, that was just really difficult because the kids were all so little. And so, you know, that just requires, you just don't get to turn it off. Right. Cause you're like, when they're that young, you're not only taking care of them during the day, but you're taking care of them at night. I mean, I didn't really sleep, you know, for real until probably just recently. And then I hit premenopause, so really never slept good. But, you know, like I just remember when they were that little, there was some times when my husband would come home and everything would have been fine, you know, like leading up to that day. But it was almost like having just like a nervous breakdown. Like, you know, he would come home and come into the kitchen from the garage and I'd be standing there with one holding onto my leg and, you know, one in my arms and I'm looking at him and I'm just, I don't know what's going on, but I don't love any of you guys anymore and I just want you all to go away. And if I never see any of you again, it'll be too soon. And I just, you know, hand the baby off and run out to the van and go find a parking lot to cry in, call one of my closest friends. It was always Kate. I don't know why, but Kate and I always call each other when it's crisis mode. And just, you know, totally like bleh all over her, right? Everything. And then like go watch a movie by myself or something like that. And then I'd come back and I'd be good. I'd be good for quite a while, you know, and then it would happen again. And at that point, I just didn't know enough to know what that was. Like, I didn't really realize that you just can't be on 100% of the time and be okay, you know? And so I think it was almost by accident that I kind of started putting into place what would end up really, really helping me, which was that my husband actually started running again. And I have never been athletic. Like, I never even owned a real pair of tennis shoes until I married him. Like, I don't know if you guys remember Keds, but that, that was, like, my go-to. Mm-hmm. And so I was never, ever athletic. And at one point when he started running again, you know, we had all these kids. And he was like, you should run, too. And I was like, you're crazy. I don't even like to walk to the mailbox. Like, what are you talking about? But then he started saying things like, well, remember when I got started, I just ran to the end of the street and back to the house. And then I ran to the stop sign and back to the house. And, you know, we're talking like a tenth of a mile, you know, like really super short. And he would just do that every day. And then he would work up to running, you know, to the end of the road, then to the stop sign, then to the house, you know, just like a real gradual buildup. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, I guess it doesn't sound too bad. And so I started doing that. I ended up getting with a neighbor, and we started kind of what I call walking, like walk jogging together.
I call it walk running. And I'll be like, oh, I went out for a walk run.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we did that, and then I was at one of his races. He had started to run 5Ks, and I was in line for this pancake breakfast they were having right next to this lady who had just done the 5K. And she was like probably at that time in her 40s. I was around 32 then. And she did not look athletic. She was a little fluffy. She was just wearing like normal like shorts and a t-shirt. She didn't like look cool, you know, like she had like running gear on or anything like that. And she had just done this 5K. And so I was just totally blown away. Like, wow. You know, like, how did you do that? And she got to telling me about it. And then she told me that she had just done a triathlon. And I was like, nuh-uh, what? And she was like, you should do it. You should do it. It's a women's triathlon. And it would be totally fun. And I was just thinking, you are out of your mind. Like, I'll never, ever be able to do a triathlon. And it was just like, I went home and it was like, you know, when you get a piece of corn stuck in your teeth, like you just can't get that idea out. And I finally just bit the bullet and I got on my laptop one night and I signed up for the triathlon. And I'm like, what the heck am I thinking? But I committed. So then I had to figure it out. And so I started taking the kids to, because like the running, obviously I kind of started doing a little bit of that. Biking, I figured I could figure out, but it was the swimming. Like I wasn't, you know, I wasn't afraid to swim. It was just like I grew up in Missouri, in the middle of Missouri in the 1980s, where, you know, when you went for a swim, it was like you went to the creek and you got a good rope swing and that was swimming, right? Like swimming 50 laps in a pool, or I'm sorry, 50, you know, meters in a pool was like, that wasn't even a thing, right? Nobody even knew about that. So I had to figure out how to swim. So I started taking the kids to this community center I found where I could put them in the childcare. And I remember the very first day I swam 25 meters from one end of the pool to the other, and I thought I was going to die. Like it was so bad. And so I was a little freaked out, but I just kept with it. I ended up doing, they had one training, one free training that was like sponsored through the triathlon. So I went to that and just over the course of time, you know, ended up figuring it out, ended up doing the triathlon. And then I did several more later, like in subsequent years. But what was so cool about it is it gave me that outlet to go out and do something that was just for me, that was on my own, that was outside, because that's really, you know, that's energizing for me to be out in nature. And also was exercise, which of course, you know, helps your happy endorphins. You get your serotonin levels up. I had to do it in the mornings because it was the only time that I could fit it in when the kids were younger. But I think that that ended up being really good because I think one of the things about being a mom is that it's very hard to measure your success. And so when I could get up and I could, you know, go for a run or go for a bike ride or, you know, maybe put on a workout video or something, it was like, okay, I finished that. I accomplished that. You know, already at the beginning of my day, I accomplished something.
That's a good feeling.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that like unbeknownst to me at the time, it kind of fulfilled a bunch of needs that were basically going to help sustain me a lot better than having this like tri-monthly freakout session, right? So that ended up really helping me. And, you know, now that I'm older and can look back, I can like kind of quantify, you know, like why it was helpful. But at the time, it just, you know, was something that I just jumped into and tried. I do remember, though, that my sixth child, so I'd already started doing that by the time I had the sixth child. And so it was kind of awesome because it, you know, first of all, when you're young, a lot of times you don't want to ask people for help with your kids. Again, like we've talked about before, like you feel like you're imposing or whatever. Also, with that many kids, like there's not a whole lot of people like you can kind of, you know, switch with or whatever, because it's like, oh, here, take my five kids, seven and under, right? Mm-hmm. But the cool thing about when I had the sixth was that I think it was starting to click with me, like, I need this. Like, I need this outlet. And so he was a total mama's boy, even as an infant. And so leaving him at home with my husband was kind of rough, especially when he had to take care of everybody else. And so what I ended up doing, though, was I made it a priority to go swim every week, and I asked three different friends if they would, like, rotate taking the baby. And thankfully, by that time, like, a lot of my friends were not having kids anymore, so they were kind of past the baby stages. So they were, like, really kind of excited to get to, you know, hang out with the baby. And he cried most of the time that I was gone. My poor friends. But, you know, it was, I feel good about the fact, though, that I did it, right? Yeah, because I needed that. And I think that it did end up being really helpful. And they actually have really fond memories of taking care of him when he was an infant. So, you know, it kind of worked out. But, yeah, for sure you got to have some kind of outlet like that.
Not just to, you know, be able to work out some of the frustrations and the stress, but having something of your own, you know, a part of your identity. I think I felt that, you know, because I sing, and so anytime that I go to record in the studio, like, I'm sure it would be an awesome thing to maybe, like, bring the family along so they can kind of see me doing what I do. But then at the same time, I'm like, but that time, like, because I'll have to either go to LA or I'll go to Arizona. And I'm like, that time, like, by myself in the hotel room to, like, sleep and catch up on shows and then be creative and have something for myself that I've worked on. Like, that is, it's really hard to give that part up. To, like, invite people in, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. No, that's awesome. I knew you sang, but I didn't know you traveled. Do you travel to record?
Yeah, because my producer, he works out of Arizona or LA.
That's so cool. Yeah. Are you her biggest fan, Amber?
I am. I wear the Ashley Reed shirts.
That's awesome. I want one. That's so cool.
You're not wearing one now.
I'm not.
How do you know she has a jacket on?
Yeah, and she's only got one hand. She can't unzip it.
Can't unzip it, so I keep it zipped up the whole time.
You guys are awesome.
Well, I mean, if we're gonna toot horns, or Amber did that. Behind her, she painted that.
Wow, that is so cool. I wish you guys could see it. That is awesome. Oh my gosh. Well, man, you guys are like everything, like artistic and organized and producing.
We're not organized. She's organized. Oh, she's organized. Yeah, I'm the exact opposite. I'm clean, but not organized.
Oh.
She can clean.
I don't know. I think I might need the combo. Not sure I'm good at either one of those.
If we eventually have, like, our own little, like, space, like, to record and have, like, office, if it ever gets to that, it will be so clean.
You'll be the dynamic duo.
And so pretty, like, and so decorated, right? You know?
Oh, that is so cool. Yeah. Okay, well, someday when we're all big, you guys can come and decorate my office, okay?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, that could be just, like, a whole nother side project. Go. Yes. Just add it to
that's
the
awesome
thing. Just go. Yeah, yeah, she's really good at painting.
That's cool. main thing, Amber, has been hair, but is art like kind of your outlet?
Yeah.
Ah, that's cool.
So doing hair to me is an art. So
nice.
Now that I can't do it, Ashley sent me a new paint set last week.
Oh, wow.
So I'm excited to be able to paint again. I just got to get some new brushes and I'll be able to have my little outlet again. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Didn't brushes come with
it? No.
They were supposed to just come with that set. So me and Amazon are going to have some words.
Yeah, just paint.
Watch out, Amazon. Okay. Here she comes.
Seriously.
Yeah, we'll have to. Yeah. We'll fix that in a minute. Because that's not cool. Oh, man.
So I have a question. Was it super hard for you to find the time to write the book?
You know, I think that it's always hard to find time to write a book.
Right.
Like, who just sits around and is like, I got so much time, I think I'll write a book.
Well, maybe during the pandemic, that could have happened.
True. That is true. I will say, hopefully my husband isn't ever listening to this podcast because I would never actually admit this to his face, but he actually really did push me to finish the book and it probably did really help me to get it done.
Shout out to husband, never, but we don't like, ever want
it,
to
right,
know.
To your hubby, how amazing he is.
No, because they'll hold that over you forever.
Right. Right, exactly. Must win every argument.
Did the book come first before the podcast? Or was the
podcast was first? Yeah. Kind of started out a little bit slowly, just did maybe one a month, I think in like 2019, and then really started ramping up, you know, after that. But yeah, kind of just like an effort to really help moms feel understood, related to. I mean, after six kids, not that I could relate to every single thing, but I definitely, you know, probably could relate to a lot of different things and hoping to relay that and bring people on, you know, that can just make moms feel like you're doing an amazing job. I mean, like,
right.
Mm-hmm. The thing about motherhood is it's kind of like coaching, right? Like, it's not really like super goal-oriented. I mean, it's not like you can say, I want my kid to have all A's this year, and that is my goal for the year.
I mean, right.
Because, like, yeah. Your kid is standing between you and that goal.
You will never meet that goal.
Exactly. And so I think it's a lot more about, you know, helping them not only become good people, hopefully know the love of Christ, but also like to find their talents and, you know, find what kind of person they want to be for the world. And so that's just like really hard to measure. And so I think that it's important that, you know, we take the time to kind of realize that the little things are the big things, you know, like that. There's some things that we're doing every single day that I would consider wins, but we tend to focus on what we're not doing, you know, and that's, I think, where the mom guilt comes in.
Right.
You know, like how, what am I not doing? What am I not doing right? You know, what am I, you know, not doing for other people? What am I not doing for myself? Oh, I wish that, you know, I looked better. Oh, I wish my house was cleaner. You know, oh, I wish that I was a better wife, you know, like just all those things. And so I think if it's important to kind of take a little bit of time to say, hey, you know what? I made a meal and everybody in my house actually liked it. You know, like, wow, that is a win. Or I just, you know, taught my teenager how to drive a car today, or, you know, went out with them for 15 minutes to work on driving.
Yeah.
Or I just, you know, got my kid to poop in the potty. You know what I mean? That's a huge win. Like, and very rarely are you going to have somebody tell you good job for that. So I kind of feel like that as moms, we need to take a little time to tell ourselves and each other. And so we've been doing that. That's one of the reasons that I started these challenges for moms, is that they get to pick in the challenge. It's a 21-day challenge, and they get to pick the three habits that they want to do each day and then one goal that they want to accomplish during the 21 days. So what I love about it is they get to prioritize whatever the habit is that is most important to them. And A, it helps them somebody told me, like, with motherhood, it's kind of like a triangle. Like, it's either you can have, you know, like, you're a good cook and you have a clean house and you're great at work, but you can't have all three on the same day. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, one of them has to fall off. Like, you can do too great that day, but you probably aren't going to hit them all, and that's okay. And that's what I kind of like about doing the challenges, is you can kind of take that part of the month and just, like, prioritize those three things that you're just going to really focus on. And then, yeah, you're going to do other things, obviously, too, but those are going to be the things that kind of come to the top. And I feel like it takes a bit of pressure off, even, because it's like, okay, this month I'm going to really focus on these things. Next month I get to choose, you know, do I want to keep focusing on these things because I need more time with them, or am I good here and I'm ready to move on to, you know, something else? And then after the 21 days is over, you get a little break to kind of reset and, you know, think about where you want to head for the next month. But it helps you to, like, I feel like it takes the mom guilt down a bit, because you're like, okay, I'm doing these things. And also it helps to remind you that you are winning, because every day we get in our group and we post our points for the day. So it's like, however many things you finished, if you finished one, you get 1 point, two points, like that. But it's like, cool, I accomplished something, right? I'm winning in these areas, if nothing else. And also, you know, it's encouraging, because all these different moms are in there and they're like, way to go. And, you know, oh, how did you figure this out? Or, oh, tell me more about that. Or, don't worry, tomorrow's a new day. You know, just like all those ways that we can kind of be positive, push people closer to Christ and, you know, encourage them. But yeah, definitely need to focus a little bit more on our wins.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think I, like, live in the mom guilt all the time.
Yeah.
Like, that is where I'm at right now. Yeah. I mean, because I think I just keep piling the stuff on my plate. And then, like, I was just telling my husband last night that it's also hard to turn off, you know, wife mode and mom mode. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have a job, but then when I'm doing podcast stuff or music stuff or whatever, when I'm at home and then any of them comes home, I feel like, oh, well, they're home. I have to be mom and wife.
Yeah.
And so then I, it's hard. How do you turn that off? Like, how do you prioritize? How do you not feel guilty for not spending time with them and being stuck in the office, you know, for hours on end trying to do your other projects or your other work?
Well, I think a couple of things have really helped me. One, again, is the triangle thing. Like, just realizing, like, I am going to spend special time with them, but it's not going to always be all the time, and it's not always going to be on their terms. Like, sometimes it will be, you know, because sometimes they need you, or they just, you know, they want you at that time, and you're available, or you can make yourself available, right? But that it's okay if sometimes I'm like, I'm going to do this with you later or tomorrow or this weekend, but I just need a little bit of time to, you know, accomplish this thing right now. And I think that's helped me, because it's, again, it's like, what do they say? You can do anything, but you can't do everything. So
we can't. We can't do
everything. I know. Right?
Oops, I missed that memo.
I will say that God really had to work on me in this area, especially after being at home with my kids all day, every day, you know, for so many years. It's been really, really difficult with having kids in school and me working more and not seeing them as much, realizing that it's okay. I mean, God, you actually had to kind of grab me and be like, Elaine, they're okay. You know, remember your mom worked and you're okay. You know, I didn't spend 24 hours a day with my mom. I went to public school. You know, it was okay. And so I think that's one of the things that has really helped me. Another thing recently I heard that really helped me a ton was I interviewed this lady and she talked about the different like sides of womanhood, or she called it like of the feminine. And it was basically kind of like saying that women embody like different personalities. Like one of them would be the playful personality. One of them would be like the independent seeker personality. One of them is like the wise counselor. She had seven different ones, and I can't remember all of them right off the top of my head. But what I loved about what she said is that even though, like, obviously by personality, we tend towards certain ones, right? But that we can work on realizing that they're all us. Like all those personalities are us, and that we can switch between them. You know, we can be independent, hardworking, responsible, you know, in the one moment, switch and become playful, laughing, happy, silly in another moment, switch and be the wise counselor in a different moment. It's okay for us to realize that we've got all those in us, and that especially I feel like as women and moms, we're going to have to change hats. And I think to me, it was just freeing to realize that's good. Because I feel like more often it's like a war in my mind, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, it's like you're saying like you have the time to yourself, which maybe is your more artistic side. And then you've got your spiritual side, and then you've got trying to be with the kids, and you've got trying to be a wife, and then you've got trying to be to work and bring in money and all those things. And instead of feeling like those are always at war with each other, starting to kind of change our perspective and think, no, those are like all me. And I can switch in between whenever I need to.
15 you know? Times a day.
And I don't know, for me, that was helpful. Yeah. Yeah, for real. Yeah. And I just heard another lady say, like, it's kind of like instead of seeing the forest for the trees, it's almost like you need to look at those trees each day very individually and say, which of these trees is the most important today? You know, and I can switch in between all these people today, but I can't, like I said, do everything. So which are those ones I'm going to kind of prioritize, you know, today.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We had a whole conversation last night about that.
Really?
About prioritizing. Yeah. And like making sure that, you know, I mean, I have his help for sure, like with the kids and stuff like that. But then I'm in here feeling guilty that I'm not spending time with him. And he's out there frustrated that he has to stay while we're like, you know, like lack of communication of like, okay, well, I'm doing it from this time to this time and I'll be done, you know, or you can go out. Like he doesn't like being stuck inside.
Yeah. Like, 'cause you're not available you know to go what I out mean? With him. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay. So if I just say like, okay, you know, if they're out of the house, then I don't feel as guilty. Usually. Sometimes I get FOMO and I'm like, but you're leaving me.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, or like trying to get all that stuff done. So yeah, it's a process and I'm trying to figure that out.
Yeah, for sure. I think it is harder too when they're littler. Cause you know, mm-hmm. as they get a little bigger, they're a little more independent and you don't worry about it as much. But yeah.
Yeah.
When they're littler.
Do you agree, Amber?
When they're kind older, of, like, but I still have that guilt. Anytime I go anywhere and he's not with me, I feel guilty, but he chooses yeah. not to go with mm-hmm. me because he's got that teenage attitude of, I'd rather just stay home.
But then I still feel guilty because it's like, well, I could have tried harder and forced him to go or dragged him out of the house.
But. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like that guilt of not having that one-on-one time or having having that relationship and spending time. Maybe because we just, as moms, we feel like the clock is ticking and we're running out of time to, you know, be of an influence on them or, you know, instill wisdom in their lives or getting to know them before their personality completely changes again.
Right, right.
You know, all those things. Yeah.
Well, a couple of things. Another thing I heard actually yesterday I thought was so cool was it was from a mom entrepreneur, and she was saying that one of the things she started doing was when she got a win at work or in her business, then she would celebrate with the kids. And so what, because, you know, you feel like it's taking you away from them a lot.
That's a and way so to
that was like, yeah, uh-huh, yeah. And I thought that was really cool, you know? So,
yeah.
I mean, I wonder, like, you know, if there's a way, like, you know, like, for example, for me, I could be like, well, you know you have to wait for me when I'm podcasting, and I know you're kind of frustrated about having to be, you know, like you said, outside my door and waiting on me all the time. But when I get on 5 more podcasts, you know, we'll go to Chuck E. Cheese or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Does anybody go to Chuck E. Cheese?
Maybe that was a bad example.
Is that really celebrating? Ice cream.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
You can tell which era we all grew up in if we're like, Chuck E. Cheese.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they're like, that's disgusting. I just saw at the store, actually, that they have frozen Chuck E. Cheese pizza.
Oh, that is disgusting.
Yeah, we're like,
We got a pizza from Pizza Hut the other day, and it looked like it was all like puzzle pieced together. And my son opens it, and he goes, it looks like a Chuck E. Cheese pizza.
It looks like a Chuck E. Cheese pizza, right? Because that's what
they do. They'll take the whole slices and put it on with a new tray. He's like, it's Chuck E. Cheese. Ugh.
Yeah. I heard that they were taking like slices that people didn't eat and putting back on there. Maybe that's what that they meant by that. Mm-hmm. I was assuming like taking it from people's tables,
which I wouldn't even pass serving them again.
I think I heard a whole like long joke from a comedian about how Chuck E. Cheese, like how are they still in business? Right. Like, do they not get health coded? Like. Anything like that. Like, it's so crazy. But I can tell you right now, we probably will not get a Chuck E. Cheese sponsorship right now. That ship sailed. Sorry.
Darn it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on today.
Yes.
We really appreciate
mom advice.
All that you came to share with, all the our listeners. Let's plug your book one more time and where everybody can find it.
Yeah, Mom of Six Dies Laughing. So you can either go to my website, which is imaginemom.com. So it's like the word imagine, but it's an E at the beginning instead of an I. So it's imaginemom.com/book. If you go there, there's a link to Amazon as well. So, and more information about the book. So there's also on my website information about the challenges. They're every month. There's always a giveaway. I'm giving away a massager right now, so sign up for that. And my podcast is the Imagine Momcast. So Imagine Momcast is the podcast. Always doing lots of fun things, so make sure you get on the list. We're actually just about to launch like a Friday kind of magazine style newsletter that'll have like fun things to do with kids of all ages. Whatever the podcast topic is, something funny, like a hack, you know, for life hacks, something about design or fashion. So yeah, definitely subscribe or get involved.
Are you on Instagram?
Yes. Instagram at Imagine Mom. Facebook at Imagine Mom, or you can go to Elaine Kohanowitz for Facebook too, if you can spell it.
If I can say it, they can spell it.
You can go ahead and spell
it. Yeah, imagine how it might be a little bit easier. But definitely on Instagram or on TikTok, YouTube, everywhere.
Awesome. And where can they find you, Amber?
You can find me on Instagram at amber_n_g. Where can they find you at, Ash?
You can find me at ashley.reed. Or since we mentioned music, you can find me at Ashley Reed Music. And then you can find us both at Uncommon Faith Podcast on Instagram. And you can email us at the same uncommonfaithpodcast@gmail.com.
Nice.
Thanks again, Elaine.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. Of course,
anytime. All right. Until next time, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.